Thanks for tuning to Digital Voices Podcast, where we chat digital transformation, challenges and opportunities across healthcare and life sciences. And now, your host, Ed Marks.
Welcome to Digital Voices Podcast. This is special drop July 4th edition. So there's no one better to talk July 4th with than a military veteran. And so I'm going to introduce Yuri in just a second, but first to Dan D, our producer. Dan, you have any family in the military?
My grandfather served in Vietnam quite some time ago, and my whole family is very thankful for his service, and he's really instilled upon us just an appreciation for the military. So it's, you know, a pleasure to be here with Yuri, and, you know, Ed himself is a military veteran, so it's just great to be amongst so many veterans today.
Yeah, you know, when I was 17, I graduated from high school. I did drink a lot that night. And I don't know if I slept, but I got shipped off that morning, you know, like at 0500 to the processing station in Denver, Colorado. And then the next thing I knew, I was in Fort Dix, New Jersey. And they shaved my head. And that was when I had hair. So it was quite traumatic as a 17-year-old to suddenly be without any hair. So anyways, I love my service. I give a lot of credit to my civilian success, to what the Army taught me. And I also come from a family of military people. And yeah, I'm very, very thankful. So our guest today is Yuri. And Yuri and I first met, we were just chatting. It was a CIO boot camp put on by Chime. I think it was my first one. So Yuri, I don't even remember what year that might have been. Like, what do you think, 2012, 13?
It was 2012.
Yeah, I was brand new. I was nervous, you know, because to be on the CIO boot camp, you have to pass certain tests. And one of them is, you know, it's like a training period. That was my training period. And I remember you were in the back row, like making fun of me, trying to throw me off my game. No, I'm kidding.
It's a troublemaker sit, right? Yeah. One of the most fun in the class.
No, I remember you and a couple of colleagues from the military because you all were really engaged, took it really serious. So Yuri, as we introduce you and bring you in, the first question I always ask is, what is your favorite music? So what do you like to listen to?
You know, I grew up in the Bahamas, and so reggae, I think, is my first love. Some cool reggae that has me rocking along, vibing. Yeah, that's my first love. But since joining the military, getting into CrossFit, anything that upbeat, that gets my heart pumping, I can get a good pump on, or motivates me for a good run, I like it all.
Yeah, I get to see Yuri and his family and his wife. Yeah, actually, your whole family's engaged. I've seen you post a little bit about some of your kids, and they're like awesome. If you ever want to see like chiseled family, Yuri and his family, they're the chiseled ones. So Yuri, are there words that you live by or a mantra, like a theme for your life? Like everyone that meets you, you want them sort of to know about you?
You know, there's one special saying that I sort of hold dear to my heart. And I tell my children, I sort of try to personify it in myself. And it's good, better, best. Never take a rest until your good is better and your better is best. And so I tell people, I'm not the sharpest, fastest, nor brightest bulb in a chandelier, but I'm going to keep pushing, keep striving to get better at what I do.
Love it. No, that's good. And that's easy to remember. It's very catchy. And I bet if you threw that in with some reggae backbeat. Yeah, we could go live. We could cut our own record here. Hey, so tell us a little bit about yourself. So you obviously pretty unique growing up in a different country. So tell us a little bit about yourself growing up and how you got into the military.
Yeah, so I grew up in the Bahamas until I was about 19 years old, and came over to spend some time with my mom's side of the family in the United States once I graduated my associate's degree. And I started University of Texas at Arlington. But my father wanted me to take a break because he had his money tied up in some investments. And I saw a commercial that said, be all that you can be. Get college money for joining the U.S. Army. And I saw guys in swamps with M16s. And that, look, they give me college money and they teach me to crawl around in swamps. I want to do that. Sign me up. So I signed up for the Army. I was about 19 years old. I had my first look into the Army. And you know what? A year ago, I retired from the Army. I served 21 years in the United States Army. So most all my adult life, people ask me where I'm from. I say, even though I grew up in the Bahamas, I spent more time in the Army than in the Bahamas. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. That's a really interesting story. So tell us a little bit more about the Army service itself. So when you got in, what did you first do? And then you went to school and became an officer, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah, so I started off enlisted. I was in the Army Medical Department. I started off as a dental lab technician in the reserves. My intent was to go back and do college, but I was in the reserves, I was going to do college, but I enjoyed my time so much. There was so much camaraderie with the folks there, and, you know, they pay you to stay in shape that I thought about and decided to, you know, I wanted to make it a career. And so when I went back off of my initial reserve training, I joined the ROTC Corps of Cadets, and I got a commission. I was commissioned in December of 99. So in January of 2000, I went to basic officer training in Fort Sam Houston, San Antonio, Texas, and did my training. And my first duty station was in Schweinfurt, Germany. I went off to be a medical platoon leader for a mechanized infantry battalion in Germany. So I spent my first three Army years in Germany with a 6.5 month deployment to Kosovo. So that's how I started. Then after Germany, I came back to El Paso, Texas. And in 2000, spent all of 2004 in Iraq. My first deployment to Iraq was out of the Ibn Sina Hospital, which was Saddam's primary hospital for himself and his personal family members. And so I spent a year there, and then after that, I came back to Texas yet again, spent some time in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and of course, got another free trip to Iraq. This time, I was up north in Balad, spent some more time up there, and then I came back, was in Hawaii, spent 3 years in Hawaii, so the Army didn't send me to all, you know, tough assignments. They sent me one. It was a tough assignment because I had to run my first marathon in Hawaii.
Wow.
And Hawaii is where I came up, discovered CrossFit. So I was at a special duty station. Did a couple other tours, Georgia, did some more time. Did a lot of time in San Antonio. In fact, I spent so much time in San Antonio, I decided to retire. So I am based out of San Antonio, Texas right now. So that's what I call home.
Well, wow. Thanks for your service. That's amazing, all the different things that you've done in the tour of duty. So we really appreciate you and all that you've done for our country and for freedom around the world and preserving our own. So I didn't realize that about Kosovo. So I came through Kosovo just for a really short period of time. Was it KFOR? Was that the name of the forces or something, KFOR? Or trying to think of the task force.
Yeah, I was on the task force, Mag Eagle. I was at Camp Bondsteel.
Yes.
What year was that? 2002, I think it was?
Yeah, that would have been funny had we crossed paths. So I came through a little bit after that as a civilian. So I got one of my best direct reports ever, Michael Kelly. He was a helicopter pilot, Black Hawk pilot, and he got activated. And so fortunately, you know, he got to go to Kosovo instead of someplace else at the time. And so the government had this program, and they brought over a few civilian guests. And it was for Christmas, around Christmas time. And I got to hang out with the troops and go on patrols. And then I don't think he'll get in trouble now because it's been at least 10 years, but we snuck off base. So we snuck off base in a helicopter. So,
what?
Yes, he talked his crew chief into getting the guys together. And at around 0100, we did lights out. It was all black night vision goggles. And we flew out, and we had to stay to the ground, whatever that's called, close to the ground, so that we couldn't be detected by the radar. And then he tried to make me throw up. He took the bird, as he would call it, and he was like trying to, you know, make me get sick. But I survived. I was a good, you know, because I was a combat engineer officer previously, and so it was an amazing experience. But anyways, thanks for all that you did. Hey, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the experience, patient experience in the Army versus civilian. So, like, for your family, so you have a beautiful wife and kids. So what would their experience be like getting service with in a military hospital versus, like, what you might experience today in a civilian hospital?
So it's been about a year for us now, so we're still going through that and experiencing it. From my observation thus far, I think growing up in the military, you know, most of our docs were military providers and whatnot. It always seemed we went there, there was always a little fear in our hearts because, you know, we went there, the doc told us something and we had to do it, you know, and so there wasn't a whole lot of questioning. Now I feel like there's some more choice when you go to the civilian side. I feel I can have more of a conversation with my doctor. In fact, if I tell her if I don't want to do something, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want those pills. So there's more, I feel a little more freedom because, yeah, I think there's more choice. The military, you're going to stay healthy. You need to take this medicine or I'm going to tell your commander that you're not, you know, take your government property, you know, and your family's responsibility. Everyone has to be healthy. Yeah, if I want to be unhealthy, my doc will just shake her head and write down. But what can she do? What can she do?
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because I grew up under military, army, medical personnel. And yeah, you know, it was pretty much whatever the doc said you did. But obviously on the civilian side, you have more choice. It's more, what's that called when you make shared decision making? But yeah. you can see the benefits on both sides.
Yeah.
So tell us anything in your military experience that now that you're on the civilian side that you think would be beneficial, you know, from a healthcare point of view. What are some things perhaps that they did differently in the Army medicine that might be helpful in the civilian world, you know, because there's always something you can learn.
Yeah. You know, that's a tough one. I would say that a lot of the good examples that we see from the civilian health care side, and you think we're trying to, I'm not in that sooner, but we're trying to adopt on the military side, exactly why folks like myself and Charlie Cordero and Kevin Peck, we joined the CHIME organization, called the Healthcare Information Management Executives, so we can learn from folks like you, you know, and Russ Brenzel and Tim and all the others, and take those lessons learned back into the military facility. So I do think the military is trying not to be such a closed loop system, but trying to take the best practices we're seeing out there and have more open partnerships to understand how civilian private practice is you know, employing best practices and adopt some of those.
Yeah, that's a good example. Yeah, and you're right. Yeah, CHIME does have a special relationship. For our listeners who don't know, our professional organization for CIOs, CHIME has this boot camp and always welcomed military members into that. In fact, one year we did a private one just for the military, and that was really good too. But I prefer, like you're saying, Yuri, we can all learn from each other. So it's great in a mixed environment where we got to spend time learning from you from a military perspective, and then the military obviously learning from other civilians, and you kind of get best practices from both sides kind of to take things to the next level. Tell us about what you're doing today, and, you know, you're still in healthcare, or, you know, what are you doing?
Well, right now I started working for a service disabled veteran owned small business. I am the vice president for strategic initiatives. The owner initially brought me on to help out with some program management, project management support. And so I did that for my first few months until we were on steady ground. And then the owner had the strategic vision to make his organization more competitive to pursue some quality certification. So they right now we're going through the CMMI and ISO process, CMMI Capability Maturity Model Integration. So we just went through our level 3 for services and development, and that went well. We're waiting for our official results to come back, but we're feeling very positive about that. And we're also in the midst of going through ISO. So we got through ISO stage 1 and about to do a stage 2 in another 2 weeks. So helping the organization to implement good processes, you know, that's what I'm doing right now. This within my first year at the company right now. So it's been exciting.
Yeah, that's great. And what are one or two things that the military taught you in terms of, it could be leadership or running big projects, whatever. What are some things that you learned from the military that you're finding helpful on the civilian side?
You know, taking ownership for a problem. And so we have a lot of smart people. And we like to say that, oh, there are a lot of things that we can do. On the military side, it's like if you identify a problem, you have the onus to say what the solution is, come up with a recommended solution. And so when we in the military see a problem, we like to offer our opinion on how to solve that. And we want to be involved and help you get there. So, we take initiative. We want to get things done. We take ownership. We want to be our partners in success.
Yeah, I like that. And I've often said, and you and I have chatted about this previously, that I know a lot of my success, and I find this the same of your, as yourself and others like us who were in the military, a lot of our civilian success is really in large part due to our military training, because you learn so much, whether it's leadership, discipline, courage. There's just so many benefits from the military, and that's why we're so happy to have you today as our guest on our special July 4th drop. So as you think about your career, Yuri, and you look back, if you were talking to some high school students who were curious about serving in the military, you know, what would your words of advice be to them about, you know, pursuing a career in the Army, as an example?
You know, they say that the military isn't for everyone. Not everyone can join the military. Not everyone has to join the military. A lot of people have to join the military. It's a good option. Like I say, it's a lot of hard work in the early years, but I think it pays off. I have all of my best friends. I have a lot of best friends. Even though you saw me looking for more best friends on Facebook. I love people. I want more best friends. The more best friends, the better. The military, I have a group of people that will be life friends for me. So life friendship. And, you know, without struggle, there's no victory. You learn to struggle in the military. The military forces you into situations that forces you to grow. And so I receive a lot of personal, professional growth in the military, being put in hard situations. Don't be afraid of hard situations. They make you stronger. So, you know, we believe in that.
Yeah. No, I'm still friends with a member of my ROTC class. You know, that goes back a long time ago. And then when I was in the engineer officer basic school, I'm still friends with, who was essentially my bunkmate. And again, we've been through a lot, you know, together and separate. And it is amazing. It does form a special bond, especially when you're on active duty and go to tours of duties, some of the places you went. Yuri, one of the things that you said earlier, it just made me think of a funny story where I learned the same thing in the military, and it was about bringing solutions, not problems. So on my door in the civilian world, I think it was at when I was at University Hospitals in Cleveland. On my door, it said, bring solutions, not problems. And so I was training my kids the same way. And one day my 8-year-old at the time, Tally, she was our oldest girl at the time. She says, Dad, I have a problem, but I have a solution. And she goes, I hate triathlon. Because I forced all my kids, you know, to do triathlon. She goes, I hate triathlon, but I can do taekwondo. So how could you argue, you know? So even at 8 years old, she got it. So it's like, she didn't want to sit there and complain and cry. Oh, I don't want to do this anymore. She didn't want to do it, but she came up with a solution, and it was a brilliant one. And she went on and became a black belt. So it all worked out. Yeah, it all worked out well. But anyways.
I tell my children the same thing. They don't like my solution of what they need to do for exercise. Well, tell me, what do you want to do for exercise? Because whatever you want to do, as long as you're willing to do it, I'll come with you. Let's do it. But you need to do something.
Yeah. Now that my same daughter, she's about 26, 27, very successful career. And I believe part of it is because that, you know, that's probably what she does at work too. You know, she doesn't just complain about things, but bring solutions. So Yuri, I always leave the last comment for our guests. So what else would you want to share with our audience who are largely chief digital officers, across health and life sciences, whether that's providers or payers, hopefully military as well, and patients. You know, we often have patients as guests as well. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to this conversation, whether it's about the military, your service, your experience, things that you learned?
Everything in my mind boils down to relationships with people. So the technology is there. It's not there. It'll be coming. But having good relationships with people, very important. So treat others as you would have others treat you, as you would have others treat your family members. Always remember the person. The person is why we do what we do. That's the most important thing. The people that we serve, that's very important. And yes, I think we should all always keep that at the center of our focus.
Yeah, those are words to live by. Yuri, thank you so much. It's so good to see you. I see you a lot on Facebook, of course, but not like chatting like today. Again, sincere thanks for your service, helping us to preserve freedom in our country and to help others preserve freedom around the world. You lived it. You still do today. And we thank you for your leadership.
Ed, thank you. I will chit chat whenever you call.
All right, man. Okay, take care. Thanks, Dandy.
Hi, this is John Lynn from the Healthcare IT Today podcast. If you like the latest rumors, insights, and happenings in healthcare IT, you'll enjoy hearing my colleague Colin Hung and myself debate and share the latest happenings from the world of healthcare IT. Find the latest episodes or dig into our archive at healthcareittoday.com or search for Healthcare IT Today on your favorite podcast application or YouTube. When it comes to healthcare technology, we love this stuff, and we can't wait to have you join in on the discussion of everything health IT.
Thank you for listening to Digital Voices Podcast with Ed Marks. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe on your preferred streaming service and leave a rating and review. And most importantly, thanks again for listening.